55. Into blue water. Octavia kept her gun trained on Miss Hackandotte from several paces away. The woman was pale as the marble statue surrounding her, but her blue eyes stabbed Octavia's.
"I will break every bone in your body," she said,
spitting out each word, though her voice was frail.
"Not today,"
Octavia smiled sweetly. Dr. Hyde tightened the makeshift tourniquet on Miss Hackandottier's arm. Then he stroked her red hair, which had fallen out of its braids.
"You will live," he whispered. "My love, I will make you beautiful again."
Octavia felt like throwing up. Who would have thought these two could be lovebirds? Modo's mother had curled up into a ball at the foot of a statue and seemed to be sleeping. Chloroform? Or exhaustion from the torturous things they'd done to her? Ah, relief. A dragoon stooped to enter the door to take in the situation, followed by two association soldiers, guns drawn. "You must be extremely careful with her," Octavia said, pointing at Miss Hackandottier. "And tend to Madame Eber. She'll need to see the ship's doctor immediately." Finally, Octavia scooped up Miss Hackandottier's metal hand and said with great satisfaction, "I'll give this to Mr. Socrates myself." Then she ran down the hallway and up a set of stairs into the Crystal Palace. It was good to see sunlight again, even if it was filtered by the quartz. No gunfire. The battles were over. The association soldiers stood at attention, uncertain what to do. Through the front gate she spotted Modo wading alone into the water, shouting something. And was that Typhon out in the boat? And who was he holding against him? Mr. Socrates. Typhon was throwing him overboard. Seeing that Modo had already started swimming, Octavia dropped Miss Hackandottier's hand, ran to the end of the half-shattered dock, and dove in. The icy water took her breath away. She swam hard. She couldn't see Mr. Socrates, only Modo surfacing 20 yards ahead of her, and the monster in the boat in the far distance. She pushed harder, gasping for air. Tharpa had taught her better, but she was panicking. Then, Mr. Socrates's hand poked out from the water, waving, reaching for the air before sinking beneath the surface again. Modo dove after him, and Octavia kicked and kicked until she was closer to them, then dove herself down, down, coral and brightly coloured fish all around her. Such a beautiful world. In the coral lay Mr. Socrates, no longer struggling. His body gave only an occasional tremor. Modo attempted to pull him up, but with only one good hand it was impossible. The meathead would drown along with their master. She kicked harder, grabbed Mr. Socrates' shoulder, and together they pulled him up. They broke the surface, the old man between them, pale and limp. A boat was already waiting for them. Tharpa pulled Mr. Socrates in, turned him onto his side, and began pounding on his back. Modo clung to one side of the boat, Octavia the other, both gulping air. After a minute or two, Tharpa let out a noise unlike anything Octavia had ever heard, but she knew its meaning. Overwhelming grief. The language of sorrow.
"Sahib!"
he cried out. There had been such devotion between them. Again he pounded his master on the back. Mr. Socrates gave up the slightest sputter. Then a cough. He began to take in air, soon great gulps of it. Octavia and Modo climbed on board and worked on Mr. Socrates, helping him expel the water as Tharpa piloted the boat towards the Shah. After a few minutes, Modo had to clutch his hand, grimacing with pain. Octavia stared at him, at his face. She didn't flinch. His eyes were so full of suffering. She studied the water dripping down his features, his patchy red hair plastered to his scalp. His breath came hard through his ragged mouth. He turned towards her, caught her looking. She smiled and said,
"Next time, you should let me do the swimming."